So we shall start right now. And Rick, thank you for taking this call and coming here tonight, and I hope you come back. So I'm happy to hear your story. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I am Rick, and I am a compulsive eater, and I don't know what I've just called myself a grazer. Basically, if I walk by food, it's like something my brain goes, oh, shiny. And it's like, and I just want to pop it in my mouth. I have learned not to do that through this program. I've been in a program for closing on 3 years now. I have lost weight. I, like everyone, I shouldn't say that, I thought that it was a weight loss program, and it turned out to be not that. And it's really helped me out a lot. In the 3 years that I've been doing it, I've lost quite a bit of weight. I sometimes tell people that how much weight I've lost, and they look at me, because I haven't lost all of my weight. And they look at me and I tell them, well, I haven't lost all my weight, but I've lost a lot. And then they kind of like, but I'm not doing it for them. Because one of the things I first said when I came into the rooms when people were talking about it was, if you don't like how I look, then don't look at me. Okay. I don't try to look however I look to please other people. If you like me, fine. If you don't, move on. But having said that, it was suggested to me as a topic tonight that I might talk about staying on the program in times of stress. And that is a good topic, because it is 2 weeks ago, my brother-in-law went into the hospital. They live out in Apple Valley. He went into the hospital, and we went out there to be with my sister-in-law, Diana's sister. And when we got there, she was in such bad shape, we had to call 911 on her. So they took her to the hospital, same hospital. We had not planned on being out there for very long, and our plans got changed. And this is where the program for me kicked in. I mean, I was completely stressed. I mean, it's like, I'm in the middle of nowhere. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's really nice out there, but I'm not at home. I'm in a different place. And I had not made any real plans. I should have, but I had not made any real plans about bringing food along. I have some approved snacks that helped me out. We had nothing. And yet I managed to somehow not only survive the whole thing, but thrive because of everything I've learned from being in the program. It's like Diane and I discovered that, I mean, we were having to eat stuff like, I mean, I hadn't had, I don't know when the last time I had a French fry was, but the hospital, they're in a hospital, and a meal at the hospital was chili French fries, I swear. I mean, I'm sure it was all organic and gluten-free and all that, but, you know, but we decided right then and there that we were just going to split everything. And so, and it turned out that, like, that really worked. And also, it also turned out that what I thought I really liked about them, I didn't at all. I just, anyway, I'm not going to be talking about food. I'm just saying that through this program and going back to the hotel every night, and at the hotel was where I discovered that truly I was a grazer, because we had brought nothing. And so I ate nothing, and everything about the program just, I mean, I'm just thinking about this as I'm talking about it, but it's like, I hadn't planned on a program to help me. It's just stepped forward. I mean, this higher power thing is a hard thing for me to deal with. When I was seven, the church my parents sent, we all went to, but they called my parents and asked them ask my parents if I would never come back to Sunday school again, because they didn't like my position on God, which was, I asked a simple question, who's God's dad? Who's God's father? You know, and it's like, and they didn't like that. And so I was told to never come back to church. That's saying a lot. So God and I have been, and my whole family are all very religious people. But now I'm starting to suspect that, you know, besides all the falderaw that people add on to God for their own purposes, that there actually might be somebody watching out for me. Because I would get calm at the most stressful moments. We'd been out there for 2 days, and my brother-in-law was in intensive care, and he died. And so I've been having to deal with and his wife, Diana's sister, is still in the hospital. And I've been having to deal with all this and insurance companies and mortuaries and everything. And somehow this calmness came over me, and I've been managing to do all this and not just pound the food. And, you know, I've never spoken at a meeting before, so I don't know exactly. I don't want to be too descriptive, but it's like I could have imagined a time in the past when I was just would have been pounding it into my face. This program has made me think about where I got my how I. It's like I don't drink or take drugs, so that only leaves food, and when I this program made me think back to when my grandfather died. I lived with him for the first 3 years of my life. When he died, I wanted to go see him because he was in a funeral parlor. I didn't know what any of that was. I just wanted to go see my grandpa, Roy. And my uncles, who loved me, said, no, let's go have ice cream instead. And so this program made me think back. I go, where did I ever pick this up? And then I realized that, you know, they said, you know, like, you're going to be really sad, so eat food. And then through other periods of my life, junior high school, everyone's been to junior high school. I now have thought back that, like, I would come home and I would eat ice cream. Ice cream was like my heroin. Since I've been on this program, I have not even, this is the first time I've even said the word out loud. I mean, this program helped me completely stop eating ice cream. And that led to other successes. But more importantly, I'm kind of drifting off topic, which it's easy for me to do. More importantly, just being in this program, and I also, I brought my iPad along too. So I was on the hotel Wi-Fi, I was able to catch a few meetings in Hawaii because it was late, it's early there, late here. And this whole thing just, this program has just helped me in ways that I wouldn't have thought. I mean, like when Clementina asked me to speak, I was like, because I've been doing so many things, but here I am, and I must be speaking for a reason, because I'm just sort of, like I said, figuring this out as I go along. It's taught me, the program has taught me, I'm not a very angry person. When I was young, I was scrawny. If you can believe that, I was a scrawny little kid. And so I got picked on. My dad was off fighting the war, and my mom didn't like me being picked on. So she taught me how to use a baseball bat to tune other kids up. Okay. She gave me my own little baseball bat. She goes, if other kids bother you, then you just hit them right here with it and they won't bother you anymore. And then my dad came home and he didn't like that. And he told me I had to start using my words to correct people. And it turned out I was really good at using my words. I mean, meanly, and vindictive. And then through this program, I've discovered that, but also the other day, I discovered with the help of the program when I was coming home from Victorville, and I turned into Santa Clarita, went in through go through Santa Clarita to get on the 126 to come home. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I made the wrong turn. I got off at the wrong exit, and I was just like infuriated, and I not at anybody, only at myself. And I couldn't understand why I was so angry at myself. And then I started thinking about what I'd heard in the program about how, you know, it about people who the program has helped them deal with their anger, and especially toward themselves. And I'd never really, I go, why would I bother with getting angry at myself? And man, when I was lost in Santa Clarita, which is really hard to do given the size of the place, but when I was lost in Santa Clarita, something calmed me down. And I know it was a higher power, or whatever you want to call it, you know. I guess that's why I really did everything I could to speak at this meeting tonight, because it's like you should give back. I mean, I have been in Kiwanis. They're a program, they're an organization that helps out young children, and I just joined it because my sister was in it. But now I realize that I really do enjoy helping people. And yeah, I'm just figuring this out as I talk about it. This program has helped me in ways that I'll still be thinking about later tonight. But it's like during my recent stressful crisis, which isn't over yet, I didn't gain any weight. In fact, I lost 5 pounds, like I said earlier, I believe. But the most important thing is I didn't fall back on food as for my comfort. I got comfort from some, I guess I'll call it my higher power. Okay. What else am I going to, you know, you can call whatever you want. You know, I've got friends of mine who are in the other one in AA, and they go, your higher power can be a doorknob. It's like, who cares? It's like, it doesn't have to have a name. And I've always kind of laughed, but now I understand what they're talking about. It doesn't really need to have a name. I'm just glad it's there for me. And yeah, I mean, seriously, I didn't, and I hope I've used up some of the time, but with that, you know, I'm just about done, other than to say, you know, this has been an amazing journey. And I want to thank, I mean, I really want to thank y'all for inviting me tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Did a beautiful job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And now the floor is open.
Hi, Jennifer, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hey,
thank you for your share. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name.
It's okay. I sometimes don't either. It's Rick.
Hi, Rick. Thank you for your share. My mom died on February 2nd, and I've been having a really hard time. My birthday's coming up on the 6th of June, and it's going to be the first birthday without my mom. And I know your brother-in-law, right? Yeah, that's still family. That's still like your brother. And I'm just really struggling. I'm trying to really do that as if, like acting as if that those things that I want about my eating disorder, more like as if the universe is taking care of me, is going to take care of me. And then really praying. I haven't had a really good relationship with God in a long time. I was homeless for 6 years, so. And that was a real test of my faith. What I've also found is that the foods that I thought were so good and tasted so good and made me feel so good, now they don't paced good. Not like I remember them. And all I can think of is it's this program. I've been only eating half of my food, like cutting my portions, and the foods that I thought were that do, even if they do make me feel good, then I don't feel good after. Like in the moment, it feels good, but then after, I don't feel good.
That's fine, Jennifer.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, Sophia, compulsive overeater. Thanks, Rick, for your share. It was a good reminder. I've been going through some stuff recently, a death, and then my family came over from England, which was a lot. And I totally isolated myself and I didn't come to meetings. And it's what you said was a good reminder to lean on my higher power. How did you kind of learn to go to your higher power, or did you find that came like naturally to you as you kept on with the program?
Oh yeah. I didn't go looking for it. It's like I discovered it one day when I opened the refrigerator and something inside my head was like, yo, what are you doing? And I'm like, no, I mean, seriously, it's like, oh yeah. And so he helped me out, or she, or whatever, I don't care, pick one. I discovered then all I had to do was just not eat that exact moment, and then 1 second would pass and the desire would pass. And that's how my higher power helps me. It just keeps me on the beam for 1 second, and then the time passes. And sometimes it's better to not look behind the curtain. It just works, and that's good enough for me.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you.
May I ask, how long have you been in OA? I'm sorry if you mentioned it and it slipped my mind. Thank you.
Oh, I came in on sometime in February of 2019. I was hit by a FedEx truck and my car was crushed. I had a bad concussion, and when something inside my head changed, and for the first time in my life, I was concerned about my weight, because before that, I mean, I'm 6 foot tall and I was heavy, but it, like I said, I didn't care. It's like, and then when I did care, I figured, well, I'll just lose the weight. Well, it turns out, to everyone's surprise, it's not quite that easy for me. That's why I'm here. You know, like my brother-in-law put on 30 pounds when he broke his leg. Well, he'd been thin his whole life. So like, and then when he was done, it's like, you know, 30 days later, he's lost his 30 pounds. It's like, he's just lucky I like him, you know? No, that was it. It's been 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness for, well, I mean, I'd rather not have Zoom, but on the other hand, I'm glad for Zoom, because here I am in my living room talking to y'all.
Thank you. Hi, I'll jump in for my 2 minutes. Thank you so much, Rick, for joining us and all the back and forth texts and messages and last minute stuff. So thank you. And especially during this very trying time. And, you know, I just really thought if you said, you know, no, I totally understand. However, when you said yes, it reminded me of, you know, what I've heard over and over again in recovery is that that there's no justifiable time to, you know, compulsively overeat or whatever other food behaviors we have. In other words, you know, my birthday was in March and friends made some beautiful dessert for me and it had great ingredients and the compulsion almost kicked in. You know, usually I don't give in to, oh, it's my birthday, you know, but, oh, there's no cane sugar in here and there's no this and no that, and maybe I could, but I knew then I would start craving that particular thing. And I just took the slice that was given to me and I gave it to my neighbor, you know, and it's pretty amazing. So I don't need to indulge because it's my birthday or Christmas or I'm at a wedding or I'm sad, you know, I don't need to have an occasion. I remember a long time ago, it might have been another program. I don't know if it's written somewhere, but I remember learning this, that somebody knocked on somebody's door and, you know, before there was texting and all that, you know, and the person opened up the door and it was a clergy person. And they said, if this is bad news, don't tell me. Why don't you come in and let's have a cup of tea first? I always remembered that there was something about it, you know, like, okay, let's just get centered here. And, you know, I had a tremendous hardship. It was a whole 2-year span of hardship, just cluster after cluster, lots of deaths and losing my home, just a whole bunch of things. I'm still unraveling from the stress and trauma of it. However, the thing that got me through it is that I did have my moments of grace. And sometimes I just make myself go outside and look up at the sky, look at the mountains, look at the ocean, just something simple. That's moments of grace. Thank you for being a great timekeeper. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Namaste. Thanks again, Rick. Thank you. Namaste.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sandra, and I'm a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovering in this program. And I'm going to start 2 minutes here. Thanks, Rick. It's great to hear you. I remember when I was attending this meeting more regularly, and you were too. And I always felt your approach was so refreshing. I was glad to see you. And I'm especially glad that I got here. I was on another meeting in a different fellowship, and it finished a little bit. I was on it, and I thought, oh, it's late. I don't like to go to meetings late. But even if I get 10 minutes or 15 minutes, just by showing up here and connecting with the energy of you people that are my tribe, it's like an infusion all that energy that I hear you talking about, all of you, great share, I loved it. I have a different life today than when I came to this program, because I didn't know what serenity was. I didn't know what thinking about other people, I didn't even know. So how could I have asked for that? And just being able to, people ask me how I'm keeping my weight off. I have no idea, but I just show up the best of my ability, which is not what I think it should be, but it's enough that I keep coming back. My first OA meeting was November 1st of 1977, and I didn't have a higher power. So this looks like a great program, but it won't work for me because I don't believe in God, and I felt somewhat superior. But I saw Star Wars, and I said, oh, I do believe in this force. And since then, it's been a magnificent, magical ride up till today. My higher power is the most important thing in my life, because I can go through anything and have gone through all kinds of different things. And sometimes it's not quite as, that's my time, stellar, but it's enough to keep me. I'm here. I hope I never try to graduate. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll go, Kristen, compulsive overeater, and I guess I'm going to label myself a restrictor now. So I've been in the program for a few years now. I don't even know, like maybe 3 years or something. And, you know, had like ups and downs and whatever, like things go well, things are stagnant, that kind of thing. And then just a few months ago, I talked to another person in OA who she was just sharing with me her struggles and what's abstinence for her, that kind of thing. And everything she was saying was like hitting it, you know, right on the bullseye for me. And I realized that I, you know, not like you can do the program wrong, but like I just found ways that work for me better through talking with her. And I think it's just so much more common for people in our group to talk about compulsive overeating, duh, because that's what this group is called. But I just have other behaviors that I do with food that are, you know, a little bit twisted. And so ever since talking with that gal, my food plan has changed, like my action plans have changed. And suddenly everything is clicking. And it feels like I finally put the right kind of gas in the car. It's like the craziest thing. I freaking have to do a surrender with steps 1, 2, and 3, like all the effing time, because I'm realizing how much I want control over all these little things that pop up. Like, I just feel like ignorance was bliss. And now I realize, like, I don't know, just how much I need the program. And if I want to be sane, and it's like crazy because all these things that so many of you and have said, and like so many other people in the program have said, like, I need the program and da da da. And just, it never was true for me, but now it's true for me, and it feels really good. And yeah, I don't think I'll ever be able to live without it. So it's a relief. It doesn't sound like how I'm describing it might not sound like a relief, but I feel so relieved. So yeah. Okay. Thanks. That's all I got.
Thank you, Kristen.
I will just butt in for a minute to say, I really want to thank, I can't name her, but I'll just say she has red hair and she invited me. And and it was arm wave getting here, but I realized that this is what I was supposed to do, because just being here, you know, sharing with y'all has calmed me down. And I'll probably be totally stressed tomorrow, but at least for tonight, you know, it's like, I mean, it happened about my grandson. I said, Kate, how you doing? He goes, okay for now. And I go, well, that's all you get. He goes, what? I go, now is all you get. And he was like, he's 28. He's like, you know, it's like, I was just making a joke, but I was right. I mean, right now is all you get, and you better enjoy it, because that's all you get. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
I mean, what I was trying to say is thanks for the invite. It helped me more than it helped you. I mean,
thank you. I will double dip. What I really appreciate is that I often hear that this is not a diet club, and that it's really a way of life. So I love that we have the tools and that they could be applied everywhere, anytime. And that's what I heard from the speakers sharing tonight. And that's such a great example, you know. And I think it is a key to dealing with stress. Because my understanding of addiction is, this didn't come from me, but I cannot cite literature that's not conference approved. And that is, addiction is a coping mechanism. That makes so much sense. When I heard it like that, it just clicked. Yes, that's right. That's how I coped with the pain of life. And that gets to be replaced with recovery. I don't have to cope with stress in those ways anymore. And I really appreciate the example that you have laid here tonight, Rick. It's really powerful stuff. And I hope that you get to hear your own podcast so it can calm you down again when you need it. Anyway, I think we have a couple of minutes late still, if anybody wants to come on in. Thank you.
I'll double dip if you don't mind. how do you deal with weight loss and like dedication to the program? I just know in my experience, I want to lose like weight faster and more and whatever, but it can be like discouraging if I don't. Does that, like, have you found that has affected you? I wonder this with like everyone, but yeah. So did that question make sense?
No.
Like, with, if you're not losing weight, or if maybe if you don't like weigh yourself, or in some way, if you don't see like improvements physically, because I guess a lot of us here are to lose weight, does that discourage you from your dedication to the program?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because, or if you're asking me this, no, it does not. It's like, I didn't really, I mean, it's not so much about the weight loss, although it's really nice. It's about having my life on track. And so if, you know, there's like, what, 3,500 calories in a pound. So you eat a little bit less and you lose some weight. But it's more about things that I've learned how to deal with, like, you know, being angry at myself. It's like, I mean, I said this once in my cancer survivor group. It's like, don't beat yourself up. That's the rest of the world's job. Okay, don't give them a hand. And so, like, that day in Santa Clarita, I took my own advice, but it took the program to make me think about it. It's like, duh, why are you beating yourself up, pal? You missed an exit off the freeway. You know, so I wouldn't have come to that conclusion before the program. So the weight loss is just a bonus for me. You know, it's hard to explain. I'll think about that. Thank you.
Thank well, you.
I just want to take a moment to, and that's a great question. I've heard for years, we come for the vanity and we stay for the sanity. And I really thought my life would take off when I reached goal weight. But no, I'd rather be overweight and have the spiritual part of this program, although I'm not into, you know, what they say, fat abstinence, or what is it, spiritual abstinence or something. But I greatly appreciate being a normal, healthy weight for all these years. But the reason I keep coming back, I left for 5 years and didn't gain weight. I came back because my head went crazy. You know, life. So I'm here for the sanity. Mm-hmm. And the good people I get to connect with who understand what this is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank
All
you.
Right. So it's time to wrap up. Again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rick. Beautiful sharing of your story, your journey with us. And thank you, everybody, for being here and holding the sacred space together. After a moment of silence, would those who wish to please join us in a prayer of Rick's choice?
Oh, it's got to be the Serenity Prayer. And we version is fine. God grant us the serenity
to accept
the things we cannot change.
Courage to change
the things we can.
And the wisdom
to know the difference.